It's not over till it's over. This is a famous American saying. When it comes to Iran's civilian nuclear program and its agreement with world powers, this saying holds true. It's been called a victory, especially in Israel. The latest that Israel is happy at a compromise deal on Iran between Congress and Obama. But this is also seen as a major setback. In this edition of the debate, we'll break down this compromise, whether it is a victory for Israel or it's about Obama caving into Congress influenced by Israel. Is it a sign that the Israeli lobby's influence is deciding the U.S. foreign policy, especially in the Middle East?
States, together with our
U.S. President Barack Obama has agreed to sign a piece of legislation that will allow Congress to have a say on a final deal over Iran's nuclear energy program. The bill, unanimously approved by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, is expected to come before the full Senate and the House of Representatives as soon as next week. The bipartisan bill, among other things, requires the White House to send the text of a final nuclear agreement to Congress as soon as it is complete. It also blocks Obama's ability to waive many U.S. sanctions on Iran while Congress reviews the deal. This comes nearly 2 weeks after Iran and the P5 plus one reached mutual understanding on a possible final nuclear agreement. Tehran and its interlocutors, comprising the U.S., U.K., France, China, Russia and Germany, are set to work out details of a deal by the end of June. On Wednesday, President Hassan Rouhani reiterated that there will be no final nuclear deal if, quote, cruel anti-Iran sanctions are not lifted.
The P5 plus one, the U.S. administration and Congress all must realize that there will be no agreement if it does not end the sanctions. The cruel sanctions against the Iranian nation must be lifted and ended immediately after negotiations are over and an agreement is signed.
Rouhani noted that Iran is in talks with the P5 plus one group of countries, not the U.S. House of Representatives or the Senate. European officials have also said war is about a possible spoiler role for Congress have undermined Washington's credibility in the nuclear negotiations with Iran. Israel, however, has hailed the compromise between Obama and Congress, with Intelligence Minister Yuval Steinitz calling it an achievement for Tel Aviv's policy. It's a matter of time before the compromise between the White House and Congress impacts a nuclear deal on Iran's nuclear program. Critics of the U.S. foreign policies say the compromise is an indication of the influence that the Israeli lobby has over the U.S. government. Past events have shown that the U.S. foreign policy is affected by pro-Israeli lobby groups, especially when it comes to issues in the Middle East. Tel Aviv has been strongly critical of the White House's efforts on an Iran deal, with Israeli officials trying to dissuade P5 plus one negotiators from signing what they call a bad deal.
Obama has forfeited the executive privilege, basically, by agreeing to have the U.S. Congress have the final vote on any nuclear deal. It boils down to the fact that the U.S. is self-sabotaging the nuclear negotiations. And the U.S., for whatever reason, under Israel's influence and geostrategic considerations, geopolitical competition with Russia, whatever it is trying to self-sabotage the nuclear deal.
Let me introduce our guest for this edition of the debate. From the Answer Coalition, Brian Becker joins us from Washington, D.C. And we have international security analyst Bob Ayers, who joins us from Somerset in the U.K. Gentlemen, welcome. Brian Becker, let me first start with you. When it comes to these talks, with this piece of news and the Republican-controlled Senate having a say now on the final deal, then I would guess that maybe it would have been better for Iran to have talks not with the P5, but with the U.S. Senate. If they may be able to jeopardize this agreement.
I think that we should have a clear perspective about what this agreement actually means. The Obama administration tried to stop the Senate and Congress from having any voice in it. The new resolution that Obama has been forced to go along with, and I think he did not want it to come through, but I think he's willing to accept it, because it has certain compromised language in it that I think really makes it impossible, or not impossible, but very difficult for the Congress to completely have veto power over the agreement. The way the new agreement reads is that the Congress has oversight. They have an opportunity to review. The time length for that is significantly shortened. If they were to disapprove it, and Obama were to veto their disapproval, I think it might be very hard for the Republicans to muster 67 votes, the two-thirds necessary in the Senate, in order to overturn the Obama veto. So I don't think Obama can actually lose through this process if he wants a negotiated settlement. But we see here, in the terms of the big picture, the context, the Israeli government, the Netanyahu regime, worried not about Iran as a nuclear threat, but worried about being replaced as the primary extension of American influence in the Middle East and in the possibility of a new sort of rapprochement or semi-partnership between the United States and Iran. Netanyahu has done everything to sabotage the agreement. The Republicans in Congress have their own agenda. It's Israel's agenda, but they also have an agenda against the Obama administration. And then you have also the military-industrial conflict, a complex which always profits from tension and war and the threat of war. So there's a split within the U.S. government. The Israeli government is obviously locked in with the Republicans. Netanyahu gave the unbelievably bizarre speech before both houses of Congress denouncing a U.S. president in the middle of negotiations. But I don't think this means that the Senate and Congress have the complete authority now to sabotage the agreement. And the Iranian government, by the way, has said, we're not negotiating with the Congress. We're not negotiating with six major powers in the world. And they're not really falling for the bait at this moment.
So, Bob Ayers, what do you think? What about the timing of this? The fact that Obama at this point has caved in, as some of the news is reading, is there any significance behind it? Or is it just jockeying for power as the negotiations go to that final deadline in June?
I think there's several involved issues, and it's important that we separate the issues. One is the actual accord itself and the content and the structure of the accord. And I don't believe that is the most critical issue at this moment in time. What really seems to have been the trigger for this problem is that the U.S. Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives, they believe they have the mandated authority to approve all international treaties, and they do. The Obama administration claimed that the agreement with Iran was an accord and not a treaty, therefore it did not have to be submitted for approval to the Congress. The only thing that causes a Republican and Democratic mixed Congress to draw together and act in common purpose is that if they perceive that the rights, authorities, and prerogatives of the Senate or the House of Representatives are being jeopardized or undermined. So what we saw was a senatorial uproar over the fact that they believed that the initial intent of the Obama administration to avoid having the Senate pass judgment on the accord was a undermining of senatorial authority. Obama realized at that point in time that he possibly would lose the entire deal if he tried to push it through without senatorial approval. So what he's done is he's compromised. The Senate and some of the committees have added some other twists and other mechanistic things to the accord to make it more difficult for whatever is reached in an agreement to be overturned by the Senate. But nevertheless, as the other speaker said, there's still a very small likelihood it could be overturned, but that's not very probable.
But there's obviously worries, Brian Becker, when it comes to trying to convince the other members of the P5. I mean, John Kerry is trying to convince them that there's nothing to worry about. He actually said that this is a good thing because he has portrayed confidence in this framework deal. So shouldn't the other parties also be involved in this whole process?
Right. It's an example of arrogance on the part of the U.S. Senate, and it's an example of extreme politics, and an example that Israel's only leverage into the negotiating process is vis-a-vis the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives. That's all true, but again, the bottom line is that the Obama administration represents a considerable section of the thinking within the U.S. foreign policy establishment that believes that this is a good deal for the United States. Iran agrees to very strict strict oversight of its own nuclear program. Iran, of course, gets recognition on the international level of its absolute right, as it does have through being a signer to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, of having a civilian energy program, a nuclear energy program. Iran gets a sanctions easing and then ultimately the lifting of many, many sanctions. So it's a good thing for Iran. Iran has not given up much because Iran has said, we don't want a nuclear weapon in the first place. But they have allowed extreme oversight. So the Obama administration feels we don't want Iran to have a nuclear weapon. This is a guarantee for it. And even more so, the Obama administration sees the need, given the diminished power and influence of the United States, even in Iraq, say, or in Syria, or in Yemen, or in any of the countries where the United States used to have amazing power, but that's been limited and diminished as a result of failed policies like the Iraq invasion,